Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Red Circle. Also, the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. Also, make sure that you're subscribed to Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server. It's not just us talking to you. You can talk to each other. You can talk to us. There's all kinds of things you can do on Off the Floor for $2.99 per month. And we're going to be unveiling a video channel. You like Brady's Breakdowns? This is where you're going to be able to get them. So check it out. It's posted here in the description on YouTube, on the podcast feeds, and at the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. Get $20 to play. Make sure that you're entered into our tournaments, NBA on a nightly basis, NFL before every – well, we do it before every Thursday, actually, so you can get in for the weekend. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. Bet legally in 44 different states. And you get $20 to play right away. And our contests are not that much. So you're getting to participate in the contest for free. Again, it's betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck is saying, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And pat the trust. It's power. Have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
If there's one thing that I'm going to do before the end of the season, I promise, we'll add Brady to the intro there. It's on my list. Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick, and as soon as we let him out of the basement, you can find me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. And also Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I'm going to do a quick, fun episode here, more of a historical episode. So Alex and Brady do not meet the age requirement. You need to be at least as old as us, have a little bit of gray. Greg has a little bit more than me because I cut my hair shorter. But this is how we're going to do this. We're going to talk about Jaime Hopp. And before we get into the specifics of the actual episode, which is we're going to have some fun with this, okay? And we're going to do all-time Heat all-rookie teams. Different ways to categorize this. Depends how we want to look at it. I want to say a couple of things about Hawkes that I've said and that I maybe have said in another platform, but not here, okay? So the first thing is I've been saying now for the last 3 weeks that when you can see a rookie start to rise, what he did the week before – seems like nothing compared to what he's doing now and vice versa. So when he's doing something, it's going to be better in a week. It's going to be better in 2 weeks. There will be ups and downs. There will be potholes. But it seems like for a guy like this who is so polished, the potholes are not going to stop him. He'll have a little dip and then he'll come right out of it. We saw that in the game that he started. He took a bunch of threes, missed a bunch of them. It was a blip, right? And then just moved right forward. But he's doing things in every game that are a little bit more spectacular than what he did in the previous one. And so what you saw in this last game was him basically taking over the beginning of the fourth quarter against the Indiana Pacers to a point that they didn't end up giving back the game, which included spin moves, ridiculously good cuts, and then that flourish, the dunk from Josh, on a beautiful pass, by the way, from Josh Richardson in transition. He'll do something better in a week because this is just the kind of player that this is. That's the first thing. Second thing is this, and I've said this, I believe, on the podcast. The Heat are not surprised by any of this, okay? Conversations I had 2 or 3 weeks ago with very high-level Heat officials, they consider Jaime Jaquez to be part of their core trio going into the future with Bam and Tyler. And Jovic could get there, but right now is not his opportunity. It's Jaquez's opportunity, and they kind of knew this from minute one. He was not offered in the Dame Lillard trades, okay? Remember, they never got to talk to Cronin anyway to get that specific. But even internally, Jaquez was not on the table. We've told you that. So that's the first part of this, all right? But the second part of it is, and when Heat assistants got a hold of Jaime Jaquez this summer, they were raving about him as a future star, not as a role player. We've talked about him as a plug-and-play player because that's what we thought at the time. But as you have these conversations to kind of backfill on what the Heat have thought about him, that's what prominent assistants were saying. And one of them, by the way, is a guy who's going to be on our list today. He was one of the best rookies in Heat history, assistant coach Caron Butler, who is an absolute zealot fan of Jaime Jaquez. Okay. And Caron, you know, not that Jaime Jaquez is going to be at this level, but Caron played, you know, as a sidekick to Dwayne Wade and as a sidekick to Kobe Bryant, among others. So Caron can spot talent, and he thinks this kid has star potential. So that I know for sure. But the other two things I want to get to, Greg, and I think these are important, and then I want to let you jump in. I think we saw one thing in this last game, and then I think there's another ramification of it going forward. They couldn't survive the non-Jimmy Butler minutes last season.
So true.
Or the season before. So what do you do when you can't survive the non-Jimmy Butler minutes? You
clone draft
a clone of Jimmy Butler. and this time it's worked because they kind of tried to do it with Precious and Bam, and that obviously did not pan out. There were some similarities, some not. Now that we've seen Precious at this level, we know that it was kind of a ridiculous comparison that some in the media
and
draft experts made. Right. Precious has a ceiling. But look, Precious got you Lowry. We can have another conversation about that. But that's the bridge for now. That's important for now. But the bigger thing going forward is if you want to extend the Jimmy Butler era, right, you get a guy who can do things that Jimmy does right now so that Jimmy doesn't have to do Jimmy things quite as often. And maybe he's preserved a little bit better for the end of seasons and maybe even for a future season beyond this contract, if that's something that he ultimately wants to do. And then the kicker to that is if Jaime Jaquez is what he looks like, then he becomes the Jimmy-like player in the next iteration of this team because he's only 1 year younger than Tyler Hero. He's 3 years younger or 4 years younger than Bam Adebayo, and they would have essentially at least a three-man core. We'll see what happens with Jovic and others. So there's so much positive that's come out of the way that he's played so far, and I just think it's only going to get better. And this idea that he's just a high-level role player is wrong. He's a high-level role player immediately, but he's on a star trajectory, I believe. So I just want to get in on that, and then we'll get to our team.
Star trajectory. I just can't even believe you're saying that out loud. This damn organization, they do it again and again, right? It's unbelievable. I mean, there's so many parts to this team, whether you're talking Duncan, you're talking what Kevin Love is doing, what Josh Richardson is now doing, Jaime Jaquez. They're developing young talent while also putting role players in great spots. And this thing with Jaquez is insane because when you heard what you heard about what they considered him to be, I scoffed a bit because I think everyone just naturally would scoff at the idea of him being a star. And you see him develop like this and become more and more of a player that's doing star things. And you start to second guess and you think, did they hit on another one? Because nobody thought Bam was going to be what Bam is now. Nobody thought Tyler was going to be. We saw it sooner with Tyler than with Bam. But what if this is another guy that's kind of cut from that same cloth and he has the goods to be like a player at that level? What if? Why not? You said it on Playback earlier. Download the app, y'all. Come hang out with us. You said, why not? And so this is the other thing, because ultimately, whenever you and I are talking about anything, somebody wants to ask about a transaction. I'm going to close by saying that aside from like maybe Tyrese Halliburton and Luka, and I don't know. I could probably think of a couple others, but not a ton. Not a ton, folks. Jaime Jaquez is going nowhere. And when you want to get involved in big superstar conversations, unfortunately, I think the league now, the most sought-after asset on the team might be Jaime Jaquez, like an asset that teams think that they could even have the cojones to ask about, because Bam's going nowhere, obviously. And that's a big deal, but it also means I don't think they're parting with him. So a lot of these conversations may not go far, and fans should be okay with that.
Well, the guys that they were in the conversation for this summer, to varying degrees, all of which were different circumstances, but whether you talked about Beal or you talked about Lillard, or even Jrue Holiday, who they had interest in after the trade to Portland, Jaime Jaquez was not part of that conversation internally or externally. So that tells you a lot. And again, there were circumstances with Beal and Lillard for sure. You're talking about contract and age and Lillard's case and defense and all kinds of other things, but he wasn't in the conversation and he's not going to be in the conversation. So that's just the way that this goes. I mean, I understand Heat fans need for, you know, continual churn. And I do think they need to make one upgrade here. We'll talk about that in another episode, but I don't think that parting with him for anybody makes any sense. And it's just not a discussion that we need to have. But the other thing I will say, and then after the break here, we'll get into our teams, is that, and I tweeted this today, that I do think that this should make you reconsider this idea of including first round picks, because if you've looked what they've done with these first round picks under this current, you know, scouting regime and their current structure, I mean, they've had five picks, right, in the middle to bottom of the first round in recent years. They got, look what they got. Okay. I mean, you could say they missed on one. Now there's one, I would say it's two absolute home runs. One, and that's Bam and Tyler. I mean, if you redraft those two, they're going in the top five, both of them. Bam, maybe even a little higher, maybe even top three of their respective drafts. Okay. In fact, I don't think there's any question it's top three. It could be even higher than that. So you're talking about Bam and Tyler, who are absolute home runs. Jaime looks like he's on that trajectory. And Jovic is the one who, you know, right now I would say it's a hit by pitch, maybe. Like, we don't know, yeah. Right? Like, it's not. And then Precious was a miss in the context of who else was available. Because it looks like they went more based on need and Maxi. And obviously Maxi was clutch and they had some duplication of the position already and all that. Whenever the Heat have drafted who they think is the best guy there, they succeed with it. And I go all the way back to Dwayne Wade, and I go back to what I wrote on draft night and what my buddy Dan Lebatard wrote. And that's one of my rare wins over Dan, because on draft night, he didn't like the pick because they had Eddie Jones. And I'm like,
me too.
He's the best player, right? I mean, I think a lot of people thought that, but it's just like, but Dwayne's better than anything else. I mean, I watched Dwayne in the tournament. Like, this kid is electric. Like, that makes sense. You don't not draft him because you have Eddie Jones. You figure out a way to make it work. And they did by moving Dwayne to the point guard position. And we know the rest is kind of history. So when they've drafted just based on, you know, this is the guy who's there. I mean, they drafted Bam when they had Hassan. They were paying Hassan, and they drafted they were going to pay Hassan, I guess, because that was – no, they – what year was that? Bam was –
Well, they had already paid Hassan, and they took Bam anyway, right? Because they liked him that much, which is huge.
Right, they paid Hassan. Well, I'll always remember as we go to break here, I always remember what – I don't want to give away too much because it'll give away who this was, but – there was somebody who said to me on draft night about how much research they'd done on Bam. And because people were questioning that pick. I mean, nobody remembers now, but like Pat was saying that he had a Sean Kemp, like, you know, and others were, you know, saying there was some Dwight there. I think that was more facial resemblance and other things along those lines. And I caught somebody in the hallway that night who's been with the organization a long time and said to me, we did more research on Bam than any player ever to this point. And he's the exact polar opposite of Hassan. And that's what they were looking for.
Amen.
Which is crazy. Right. Which is crazy because they just paid Hassan. But anyway, it is what it is. All right. I do want to mention Water Clean of Florida. I mean, they cleaned that center position up, right? The Heat did. Well, you can clean up your water, your mold. That was a reach by me. Water cleanup of Florida. Reach out to Michael, Robert, and their team based in Boca Raton. They service the entire area. They can do the preventative maintenance for you. They'll do the leak assessment, all that great stuff. Well, it's not great. I mean, it's not something you want to have to do, but if you have to do it, reach out to them because they got more than 75-star reviews on Google. 561-408-7835. That's 561-408-7835. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, so now let's get to it. We're just going to have some fun with this. The Heat have had some interesting rookies, but there's different phases of Heat drafts, okay?
Yeah.
And so there are some players who benefited in some ways from joining teams that needed help immediately. And there are others who benefited from teams that didn't necessarily need help immediately, but could put them in a role where they could flourish. And ultimately, we saw them in more high-impact moments, okay? So as we're going to put this thing together right now, I think we have to take a look at, okay, what are we looking for, okay? And we're going to try to make two all-rookie teams here. So a first team and a second team. And I'll start with this, Greg. Should we be positionless?
Yes. Come on. Like, what would Spo say? What would Spo do? Well, that needs Pat to be a damn
say?
Bracelet.
Would say we need a traditional center, right?
What's that?
Pat would ask for, well, not just one traditional center, but probably five.
Yeah, but we're pivoting to an Eric Spoelstra era. No. let's make sure we have a big let's get a big on there, and let's make sure we have a point guard. How about that?
All right, so let's say a big, a point guard, and three wing type players. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, three super flex, okay. Meaning they could be whatever.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. So let's go with it. All right. So I'm going to go through here just to jog the memory here a little bit. Okay. We'll just do points per game because it's the easiest to look at, even though obviously it's not the end all be all. Okay. So I'm going to give you the top 10 here in points per game as rookies, right? And let's eliminate some of these guys, and then let's put some of the other ones in a hopper where maybe we'll consider them. And just for the record, as we speak right now, Jaime Jaquez is tied for 10th in points per game as a rookie. He's tied with Willie Burton and Steve Smith, okay? So that's where he's at for now. Also, want to mention one other thing before we go forward. Everybody's going to talk about, well, Jaime's so old as a rookie. His trajectory is not that great, right? Because he's already a fully formed player. He's younger than most of the players on this list, actually. And the reason for that is because the NBA was different before, where you actually came in after 3-4 years of college. But the Heat have typically drafted that type of guy anyway, even in later years. Some of their best contributing rookies were Jaime's age. So, again, this idea that he's some kind of anomaly in that way and he's benefiting from the fact that he's an old man rookie is not really true, actually. A lot of these guys, Dwayne was 22, okay? So let's start there, all right? Dwayne, here's the top 10 scorers where Jaime Wright is at 10 right now. But Dwayne Wade, he's going to be on one of these lists, I would think, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Caron Butler. Yes, right?
Yep. He's going to make a list.
Caron was on a bad team.
I don't know what list, but he's going to make a list.
He'll make a list. He started 78 games as a rookie, and he averaged 15.4 points. Kendrick Nunn, 15.3.
That's going to hurt.
I'm not going to rule him out immediately, Greg, because I understand what's become of him since, but he was doing crazy things early that season. And until he flamed out towards the bubble, I mean, he was on a team that was a very good team. Sherman Douglas, I think from the old days, I think that's fair to at least keep him in the mix. Well, let's see. We're going to keep him in the mix. Michael Beasley was fifth, 13.9 points. I think we have to keep him in the mix, right?
All rookie first team.
Okay. 19 starts for Bees that year, by the way. That was it. Haslam was still the primary starter for most of the season. Kevin Edwards was a very good rookie, but that was a very bad team. It was an expansion team. Can we eliminate Kevin Edwards?
Yes.
I think? Okay. Glenn Rice, however, the next year averaged 13.6 points. He was the fourth overall pick. I don't know why I remember that by heart. 77 games, 60 starts. I think we keep Rice in the mix, right?
Second team. People will be surprised I say that.
Right. Well, I know you love Rice. Tyler Hero, he's in the mix, right? He averaged
he's on the first 13 team. Moving on.
13.5 points as a rookie and obviously did crazy bubble things. Sasha Danilovich, who, shares a name with my daughter. It's not why I named her that, but also was one of the few chain smokers I still saw in the NBA at that time. I don't think Sasha Danilovich makes this list. He drove Pat crazy. Willie Burton, no. A lot of talent, but no. Jaquez, so again, put him to the side. Steve Smith as a rookie. Played 61 games, 59 as a starter. Played out of position at point guard, remember? They tried to make him into a point guard. 12 points a game. I think Steve Smith at least belongs in the conversation. Grant Long, 11.9 points. But the big thing was the rebounds. Him and Cycli both that year. Right there with rebounds. Top two rebounding rookie seasons. 11.9 points for Grant and 10.9 for Ronnie. Can we keep both of those at least in the mix?
Yep, keep them in the mix.
Okay.
Ronnie Butler, more than Grant, though. Let's just be clear.
I agree, even though Grant's numbers were better.
Yeah.
Okay. Harold Miner, no great potential, but yeah, his rookie year was actually a disappointment. All right. And then the 16th double-figure scorer, and I'm sorry because he has to be in the mix. Mario Chalmers started 82 games as a rookie on a team. On a team that made the playoffs after winning only 15 games. He's in the mix. Okay.
100%.
So far of the double figure scorers, I've got Wade, Caron, Nunn, Douglas, Beasley, Rice, Hero, Steve Smith, Ronnie Cycli, Grant Long, and Rio. Now I'm going to go a little bit down to find contributors. Okay. I may not have scored as much, but made a contribution. So you just say yes or no as we go forward. Khalid Reeves. No. I'll do it for you. Greg Thomas.
Can I tell a five-second story?
Yes, you can. They
drafted Khalid Reeves primarily because he would dominate Jason Kidd in every matchup, and that was a lot of what they saw from him, and they loved what he did against Jason Kidd. I just thought that was a really weird factoid. On to the next one.
That was the thing with De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball, by the way, because Fox always dominated Lonzo Ball. Anyway, okay, so – No on Khalid Reeves, obviously. Kurt Thomas?
No, didn't spend enough time there either.
Yeah.
He was traded for Mashburn like halfway through the year.
He's traded for Mashburn. All right, Daquan Cook, no. Yeah. Sylvester Gray, no. Kaseem Powell, that was in the disaster G League year, no. Rasul Butler, may rest in peace. Nice player off the bench, but no. Udonis Haslam. 75, just the rookie season. Obviously, UD has a certain place in Heat history, but the rookie season was actually pretty good. He started 24 games. This is before Shaq came. And that team obviously was a fun team that made a little run. He averaged 6-7 rebounds, 7 points. I think we can at least keep UD in the mix. I don't know that he makes the final cut here. Bam. Only started 19 games because he was playing behind Hassan, 6.9.
We all knew, but he's right. Not going to make one of the he's not going to be a top 10 guy.
Anthony Taylor, no. Norris Cole, our guy.
He has to be on the list because he started contributing for a championship contender immediately, right?
He did. And he had some big moments for them. And actually, he filled a huge need for them. They needed another point guard with Rio. So, yes, I'll keep him in the mix. Josh Richardson played a role that season. If I was to say to you, Josh or Justice, who are right there. Yeah, I would think so, too. Right.
Josh had that run where he couldn't miss, but that wasn't all season.
No, he spent a lot of time in the G League. I used to see him at connecting flights all the time. Ronnie Magruder, Kelvin Upshaw. The one honorable mention here, I don't think he makes it, but I do think we should recognize Anthony Carter because as a rookie, he filled that backup point guard role that was very important for those Heat teams, and he played 79 games, started 30 of them, defended his ass off, couldn't shoot.
And never gave it up. Remember, they were churning out backup point guards for years, and then they found AC, and he was there for a number of years.
Yeah, well, they had Crotty, Murdoch, and Porter during that run. Correct. They ended up with AC. Okay, and AC, I always remember about AC, but the reason they kept him was because they at LaSalle, which is the high school they used to work, used to practice at.
Because the fax machine's broken.
Well, that too. And he had an office upstairs and he could look down from his window and they were running they're basically running, fives back and forth against each other, switching up teams. And AC's team won every game against Tim's team. And he was like, I'm keeping that guy. And so it's more than just the Shaq thing. But anyway, okay, there's no one else on the list who should be considered. All right, so here's where we're at. Wade, Karan. All right, let's start with the guards, okay? We need a point guard first team and a point guard second team. Dwayne's a point guard in this mix, so right. He's first, right? Okay. All right. Who's our second team point guard then? You giving it to Rio or are you giving it to Sherm?
Rio, 100%.
Okay. I agree because the team was better. Sherm was fun, but yeah. Okay, so Douglas is out. We've already got Wade. To me, that eliminates Kendrick Nunn because he was kind of playing the point guard position that year. Yep. All right. Rio out, Cole out, AC out. Okay. Your bigs. Not a lot of options here.
Does UD count?
I guess he does. Well, he played a lot of center that year, actually. Yeah, he played a lot of center off the bench.
You're damn right he did, because Lamar was at the four and they would play him at the five.
Your options are Ronnie.
See, I don't want to do that.
UD, Grant Long, and Bam, basically.
I'm going UD. He was they were a playoff 10. They went to the second round and he was playing the five, guarding Jermaine O'Neal in the second round. That's my guy. All rookie first team. Greg's all rookie
right.
First team.
All right, so I'm going with Ronnie on second team.
Okay. And also, are you going to see UD and not, like, put him on the first team?
No, well, Ethan,
he's going to hold you accountable.
No, he's held me accountable many times. I would say I'm going to go with Ronnie. I'd love to have a conversation with this, like, with Eric Reed. Or more to the point, with Roddy Rothstein, since I know Cyc Lee could drive him nuts at times. But I think it has to be Cyc Lee because he did make impact his first year. And he was one of the reasons people went to watch that team. People knew him.
It's probably Cyc Lee as the first team. I just love UD and sorry. I'm wearing the OG 40 shirt. We got to go with it.
All right, so let's look at our wings then. Karan is first team, correct?
Has to be.
Even though he's a bad team. But he was relied upon to do – him and Eddie had to do all the scoring on the team. All right, so we've got Karan. I say Tyler.
For sure. Tyler's in the backcourt. It's Dwayne and Tyler. What a backcourt.
Okay, who's the third then? Are you going Rice? Are you going Bees?
I'm going to go – people are going to be surprised by this. I'm going probably Bees. Bees? So then that means it's Haslam. For me, it's Haslam.
You're going against Rice?
This is where I guess there's a part of me because those teams were like so like fodder in Heat lore. Like, but I guess to your point, we all felt underwhelmed by Michael Beasley's rookie year, and it kind of turned into a Mario Chalmers conversation by the end of that season about rookies. And so, like, to that point, to then reward him with a first team.
Yeah, I can't put Beasley on the first team in Rio.
You're right.
I can't put Beasley on the first team in Rio.
I just had to talk it out. You're right.
Plus, Rio and Bees still can't be separated. They're still playing the big three together. So, no, we'll keep them together. All right. So, our first team is UD. Where we're small here a little bit. UD, Karan, Rice, Hero, and Dwayne. Okay. Again, I'm not including Hawkes in this conversation at the moment. And then the second team, we've got Ronnie. Rio's the point guard, Beasley, and we need two wings. And Steve Smith, I guess, is one.
Yep.
Okay. So who's the last one? I'm going to go to a place I don't think people would think I would go. I say Justice.
Wait, was Hassan Whiteside a rookie?
No. No, he was not.
Sacramento. Never mind. Thank gosh. Okay.
Right. No, we're not. If you have a small coach in this team, that's not happening.
Who are the last couple guys? Sorry, I missed that.
I mean, really, it's unless we're counting none as a wing.
No.
I think it's Justice. Because the point to be made again is that Justice was ahead of Josh on the overall pecking order that season.
He played five in the second round in a game seven on the road.
He was a core defender for them, and on a team that, again, if Hassan, I know we mock Hassan, but if he'd been healthy, and if Bosh had been healthy, that team probably. They would have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals. They might have beaten Cleveland. They handled Cleveland during the regular season. So before we close here with the Hawkes point, these are our two teams. Team one is UD. So Bam not on the teams. I think some would say Bam should be on instead of Ronnie. He just didn't get the minutes. That's the thing. We saw it. You're right, but he just didn't get the minutes. There's a different conversation to be had about the best draft in Heat history, of which Bam is two,
of course,
behind Dwayne at this point. Okay, but so UD, Karan, Rice, Hero, Wade, and then the second team is Ronnie, Beasley, Steve Smith, Justice, and Rio. That's quite a crew. Steve Smith would wow.
So you see what's going to happen here, right?
What's going to happen is that Jaime Hawkes is going to end up being a first-team all-rookie player in Heat history.
Absolutely.
Right? Because the spot he takes is he's not taking Dwayne's spot.
Or Tyler. Anyone else, though, is up for grabs.
Or Tyler. But he can pass Rice. It's a different role because Glenn was expected to be a primary scorer from minute one. But he passes UD. And the wild card, and this is the funny part of this, it's a great place to close. The conversation is going to be Jaime or Karan. And it's hysterical to me because Karan is Jaime's biggest cheerleader. I coached him in summer league. And I if we could talk to Heat assistants, which we can't, I would ask Karan, is Jaime Hawkes a better rookie than you?
There's ways to ask these questions.
There are. There are. We'll see if Real Tough Juice appears on Twitter. But there's ways to throw it out there. But that is the comp now. Not comp as a player necessarily, but Karan was a do-everything wing. And was an elite scorer in college and was an elite complementary star who did, I think you said, did he make one or two All-Star teams with Washington?
I know he made one. He made one in Washington. And the key thing I want to remind everyone, because this is just fun to remember, that was Michael Jordan's last season. And Riley put Karan on Jordan in his last game in the arena ever. I was at that game. It was crazy sitting next to Willis McGahee. And he put Karan out on an island on Jordan. And Jordan was going YOLO because that was the end of his career. And so I think that that just kind of showed the confidence they had in him. Also, it's just a really bad team.
Yeah, well, that too. And look, the idea again that Karan was just like, somebody was just getting shots up because they weren't good. That might have been true the first year. But the second year, he had injuries on that team that ended up 42-40. But he also had flourishes in the playoffs where you saw that player. And then he ended up, like I said, becoming he was one of Kobe's favorite teammates, actually, ever. And was the third best player on teams with Kobe and Lamar. Just like he was the third best player on teams with – well, on that team with Dwayne and Lamar that season. So it's not a bad comp. And obviously, if Jaime Jaquez became Caron Butler, you would take it. But I get the sense Caron might say that Jaime's ceiling is higher than that. So we'll get Caron on the pod someday. Who do I have to bribe for that? All right. Thanks to the sponsors, Better Edge, Water Cleanup of Florida. Subscribe to Off the Floor. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.